The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. This should be our constant prayer. Jesus, send out laborers into your harvest. There are souls out there ripe to hear the gospel of salvation, and we need all the help we can get. But something is first assumed here. If we are going to earnestly pray for Jesus to send out labor, we are assuming that we are also already involved in that labor as well. I mean, just imagine you're one of the countless road construction workers who have been out recently. What do you think would happen if they called up their boss and said, "Hey, we need some more workers around here to get this job done. We've been sitting around drinking iced tea all day and the road still isn't finished." I'm not sure that worker would be politely informed that if they didn't get to work, new workers would be sent out to replace them. So first things first, we have to make sure that we are doing the work of reaping God's harvest. And this is what Jesus does with the disciples. He commands them to pray for workers, and then he sends them out. Here's the thing. In reaping God's harvest, we are cooperating with God to see that prayer answered. We aren't just asking God to send more workers. We are actively recruiting. But we have to recognize that Jesus also equipped the disciples, giving them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. He gave them a task, and he gave them the tools they needed to accomplish it. Last week, we were given our task in the Great Commission. And being a good deal broader than the command the disciples had at this point, God equipped his church in many ways and has given us a wide variety of gifts. At Pentecost, I preached on the sevenfold gift of the Holy Spirit, and in our lessons that week, we encountered the manifestation gift of the Spirit as well. We've recently looked at what some of the various gifts are, but this morning I want to focus on what we do with them. You see, as with any skill, it is necessary to practice in order to develop proficiency. It isn't enough to be simply gifted in an area if you want to perform to the best of your ability. So, how much time do we spend developing our spiritual gifts? And how much do we practice them in real-world settings to perfect them? I mean, aren't these the steps that we typically take in our professional lives and even in our hobbies? We read books or take classes or maybe even watch a few YouTube videos. And then we actually go and do what it is we've been learning about. Maybe your first outing isn't particularly successful. But if your livelihood depends on it, or it's something that you particularly enjoy, you are going to keep working and keep trying. Shouldn't we be just as diligent when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission of our Lord and working to reap the harvest in order to win souls to everlasting life? Evangelism isn't something you try out once and fail and give up. You learn. You practice and you grow. You work to discover your gifts and how they can be best used to grow God's kingdom. And if we're making sure that we are personally equipped for the task at hand, how are we supporting those around us? Are we helping to provide others the appropriate tools for leaving? This is an especially appropriate question to pose on Father's Day. I'm sure I've trotted out this statistic before, but I'm going to do it again because it is so very crucial. This is from a Swiss study done in 1994 on the generational transmission of the faith. If both father and mother attend regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. If the father is irregular and the mother regular, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regular themselves, while a further 59% will become irregular, 38% will be lost. If the father is non-practicing and the mother regular, only 2% of children will become regular worshipers, and 37% will attend irregularly. Over 60% of their children will be lost completely to the church. I bring this up not to diminish the importance of mothers in the church, but to stress how important it is for our children to experience strong fathers who are unashamed to practice their faith. The transmission of the faith begins in the home and is most effectively fostered with a shared effort. But it doesn't end there. There are countless ways beyond our homes in which we can support our brothers and sisters in Christ at becoming skilled laborers. We share our wisdom and experiences in community. When we talk about our attempts at evangelization, both our successes and our failures, we are providing a pool of knowledge which is beneficial to all. I mean, just think about professional organizations. These organizations exist to amass a wealth of collective experience to progress their field, and obtaining this knowledge is a requirement in many cases. I know my wife has to complete so many hours of continuing education each year in order to maintain her dental hygiene. And this kind of sharing also fosters accountability. We can follow up with one another in our efforts and provide an atmosphere of sincere effort to fulfill our call. Finally, we have to look at the results of our labor. What are our fruits? Of course, we may never fully realize the outcome of our efforts, but we should have at least some tangible harvest. And this doesn't have to come from some heroic effort to single-handedly bring thousands of souls to Christ. Just a focused effort on a handful can be amazingly valuable. Consider this. If you spend 1 year evangelizing a small handful, and only 2 people become followers of Christ, and they each in turn have the same amount of success the next year, and so on and so forth, with each new disciple harvesting 2 more each year, in a mere 33 years, there will have been a conversion of more souls than are currently on the planet Earth. 2 to the 33rd power is over 8.5 billion. I'm not trying to sound like I'm selling Amway here, pushing some pyramid scheme. It really is just basic math. So let us pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his field. Just know that when we do, he will more than likely call upon us to help fulfill that prayer, which is all the more reason to continue at that request and be constantly prepared to heed that call. So, we will continue to sharpen our tools and share our trade secrets. We will devote time and effort to learning the art of harvesting. Heavenly Father, we pray, send out workers into your harvest. But first, send them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.